and gentlemen, it is time for the Krigler Show. Welcome, everybody. Hello. It is me, your host, Adam Krigler. Of course, you know it is the show that I am on because it is my namesake. I don't know if you notice, it's a little different today because I'm going to be having the farm engineer joining me soon. He was stuck in traffic. It was a car accident. Luckily, he wasn't in it. I don't know the severity of the car accident, but he will be joining us soon-ish, and we're going to be talking about a few fun things. We're going to talk about food, the future of food, space food, and also the future of water, which is something that I've also found very interesting in my, travels and research and everything. So my flag is not upside down. What are you talking about? It's just spiraled around, all right? It's just spiraled. All right, it's just chilling, okay? It's chilling. Thank you, The Last Crow said, nice setup. Yeah, I've been, getting more of my things. I've got, this is my sexy Washburn guitar. That's Eve, actually. Actually, I don't remember. No, this is Sadie. Sadie and Eve. Yes, sorry, Sadie. I mislabeled her. It's okay. She's not going to stay mad at me forever. Anyway, welcome. Today, I'm going to be discussing Norm Macdonald. Unfortunately, he passed away. Now, this was 2 days ago, I believe. And I just want to talk about his life and talk about the things that he was essentially canceled for long ago and, kind of was swept to the side almost by mainstream comedy. And dude, it's hilarious. Norm Macdonald's funny. So we're going to be talking about Norm Macdonald, rest in peace, and little story of his life and stuff. Then we're going to be talking about Inspiration 4. Now, I actually signed up to try to get, of course I did. I wanted to be on that spacecraft. I even have the Inspiration 4 patch that you can put on something cool. You sew this on and then put the patch on there. I'm pretty excited about it. I don't know what I'm going to put it on. Probably a guitar bag or something. But they are currently in space. These four people are sitting in space. We're going to talk about what it is and who they are. Just to let everyone know who's actually sitting up in a Dragon capsule right now that I am totally not jealous about at all. So, yes. Darth Jason, yes, I see you're back. I don't know what happened, but my mom let me know there was something wrong, and we got you back. Awesome. I see you guys talking about it. But it's good to see you guys. Thank you for joining in. It is almost the end of the week. Yeah, we're getting there, right? Man, almost 250 shows. What are we? 249. 250 shows tomorrow, my 250th show. It's pretty crazy to think about. I'm almost there. 250 shows. Yeah. So after Inspiration 4, we're going to kind of keep it in the space talk, but also talk about food in general. Now, the farm engineer is going to be joining me soon. He joined me, I don't know if it was 2 weeks ago. Great guy. Hilarious. We were chatting about all sorts of stuff. And he is an engineer, also a farmer, and living off the land, which is something that I think we need to have more of in our world. So we're going to be discussing food. And actually, I want to give you the accurate, hold on, let's see. It is, yeah, food is now the priciest it's been since the 70s. Seriously, 40 years, over 40 years, food is more expensive than ever. And it's a big problem. It's a big problem. And not only is food becoming a problem, but water is becoming a problem. So I think it's more important now than ever before for all of us to be focusing on growing our own food. It's really important. I think we need to understand that, sure, it's time consuming, but if you dedicate a little bit of time every day and just, it's not as big of a deal as what one would think it is. Sure, the initial startup, but we're going to talk about it, and I'm going to save that one for the end because Farm Engineer was caught in a bunch of traffic, and he is currently trying to set up shop, and he will be joining me. Whenever he joins in, he's just going to pop in on the stream, and we're going to continue on. So first, before he gets here, I'm going to be discussing Norm MacDonald. Okay. Shout out to Nerdrotic, because I didn't actually know. Why is my mouse not working? It's weird. It's working a little bit, but not a lot. I think it's too far. There we go. Okay. Let me add this real quick. I want to share. Okay. Here we are first. Shout out to Nerdrotics, because I didn't know that Norm had passed. And I really like Norm MacDonald. He's every time I've seen him pop up in whatever, it's always been hilarious. And this is when I first saw it. I said, oh man, that's a bummer. I was really bummed. I had no idea. And this a great headshot of Norm MacDonald. And he's great. I mean, I remember him from Saturday Night Live. He really was one of the funny guys on Saturday Night Live. I really appreciated him. Of course, that's kind of the reason he got fired. But we'll get into that once we get there in his life story. Because I have a nice little article that kind of sums up his life story fairly decently. And oh my gosh, my mouse is frustrating me right now. Come on, mouse, relax. Okay. So this is a look. So I'm using StreamYard. This is new. All right, there we go. Okay. So this is from Deadline. Norm MacDonald dies. Influential comedian and former SNL Weekend Update anchor was 61. So young. What a shame. He was only 61 when he died. That's young. Come on. I mean, sure, in the scheme of human life, it's getting up there, but I don't know. I feel that that's young. And it turns out he was battling cancer for a long time. Like almost a decade, I guess. It's a shame. Norm MacDonald, whose laconic delivery of sharp and incisive observations made him one of Saturday Night Live's most influential and beloved cast members, died after a 9-year battle with cancer. He was 61. MacDonald's death was announced to Deadline by his management firm, Brillstein Entertainment. The comedian's longtime producing partner and friend, Laurie Jo Hoekstra, who was with him when he died, said MacDonald had been battling cancer for nearly a decade, but was determined to keep his health struggles private and away from friends, family, and fans, which is, I mean, honestly, that's pretty incredible if you think about it. You know, just that. I just want to say a little bit about that, about who does that. You know, we live in an age of victimhood, right? We live in an age where people are looking to become victims and thriving on it and celebrating being a victim. You know, it's almost like these people that are addicted to attention would celebrate getting something that would give them more attention, even if it was as bad as cancer. Like, I'm not saying that's the case. It just feels like that, you know, that we're in that kind of an environment where attention is more important than your health or something like that. So seeing that, I'm like, that's awesome. You know, I already had respect for this guy. And then knowing how he kept this in the dark, you know, he wanted to keep it away from his, you know, his fans, his family, his friends, and just, you know, deal with it himself in his own way. It's pretty great. This is a quote from Hoekstra. He was most proud of his comedy. He never wanted the diagnosis to affect the way the audience or any of his loved ones saw him. Amazing. Norm was pure comic. He once wrote that a joke should catch someone by surprise. It should never pander. He certainly never pandered. Norm will be missed terribly. And all right, so this is saying more than just comedy too. Because he's right. A joke should catch someone off guard. You know, it should surprise them. It should, you know, when you're expecting something or when you're being pandered to, that's you know, condescending. And that's, you take a step further away from comedy, right? And look at like the bigger picture of what these mainstream talking heads, Hollywood elites, politicians, they're all panderers. They're all pandering to try to get your attention, to try to convince you of that they're, you know, someone to look up to, when in reality, they don't care at all about what anyone thinks about them or what, you know, what your situation is at all. I see that. That's when I read those words, I was like, yeah, that really is like a bigger picture thing. It's not even about cancer anymore. It's not about comedy anymore. I just saw the word cancer as I said that. But I like that about Norm. You know, he held it to himself and, you know, he never pandered. And I love that. All I see is these people pandering. I mean, take, for example, Howard Stern, right? I mean, Howard was in this main spotlight for most of my life. I remember hearing about Howard Stern. My mom used to listen to him in the car and we'd both laugh at Howard Stern. And I haven't heard anything from Howard Stern in the past decade easily. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. I guess he's got a serious radio show, a satellite radio or something. You know, is he pandering? I don't know. Oh, we got the farm engineer joining in. All right, hold on. Let me pop him on. Hey, Farm Engineer. Welcome, hey, welcome, sir.
Hey, thank you very much. Thanks for having me back again, man. I'm really excited.
Of course, of course. So I'm just in the middle of talking about Norm Macdonald. So I don't know if you know.
Oh, my gosh.
So we're talking about him. He just passed. I'm just kind of reading about the end of his life and how he – and I'm talking about how he – someone very close to him, one of his partners, he said – Norm said – a joke should catch someone by surprise and should never pander. And I'm just kind of making, you know, a bigger observation of how that really does, you know, it's a broad thing. Like everyone's pandering nowadays. No one's trying to catch someone by surprise or be authentic or, you know, there's such a difference when someone's pandering, you can tell. And a lot of people think it's just not a good look. You know, it's like, don't pander to me. I don't want to be pandered. I want you to be the real you. I want the real authentic you and comedy. I don't know. I feel like Norm had a really good balance between that.
Oh, Norm was fearless. Norm Macdonald was incredibly fearless. He was not afraid. I mean, he got fired from Saturday Night Live allegedly for continuing the OJ Simpson angle for all of his jokes.
I'm going to talk about that in a second.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
No, dude, that don't be sorry. That's fine. We are going to talk about it. You're right. Do you see what he did on The View? You're talking about him being fearless. Oh, man. All right. For those who don't know, Norm went on The View, right? I mean, why was he on The View at all? Maybe he was promoting something. I missed that part of it, but he straight up called the Clintons murderers. And they were like, whoa, we're not going to do that. And he's like, what? I thought it was true. Like,
it was a commonly accepted fact is what he said.
Right. And, you know, he knew that it would get a rise out of them. He knew that people would be laughing at that. It's just, he did such a great job of, you know, making those women uncomfortable, which made it funnier.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we all are with it. Her name is Killary for a reason.
There are no holy people, I suppose. There's no anointed ones, as Thomas Lowe would say. Right. If you have a good comedian in the room, and people are afraid of good comedians these days because they tear their robes off, you know, they show you as a human being. And then when I saw those ladies cringing and freaking out at this apostasy, that was the funniest things I've ever seen. I mean, he's amazing. He's like an anti-comedian. It's incredible. Like he's not telling jokes. It's like, you are the joke. We're the joke. And sometimes he's the joke. Like his long moth joke that he had on Conan O'Brien. That was one of the funniest things ever. Cause we're just following him through this long, long joke. It's like, what is this doddering old fool doing? He's just the tiniest.
I didn't see that one. That's funny though.
It's incredible. I can't recall. Wait,
hold on. You said something now that just caught my ear and I really like it. Comedians rip the Band-Aid off. And
they do.
Mm-hmm. What happened to that?
Oh yeah. Well, everyone's so scared.
That's not a thing anymore. Like that's not real. Like I know that that's the case. Like a good comedian will rip the Band-Aid off and make fun of everybody. Like no one's safe. And that's good. Like, everyone should be ridiculed because everyone should be able to take a joke and not have it be offensive and be offended for someone else also, which is a problem unto itself. But
I mean, being offended on someone else's behalf is a form of cultural appropriation as far as I'm concerned. We should have our late night hosts should have so much material, right? Like, we got tons of people streaming across the border at the same time as we have vax mandates. It doesn't make any sense. You know, this is easy targets. It's a target rich environment for a comedian. So you end up getting these guys who are outsiders, you know?
Ryan Long. Do you know Ryan Long?
Oh,
Dude's amazing. He is constantly putting out stuff and making fun of everybody. Well, mostly the people that deserve to be made fun of. But shout out to Ryan Long because he does a great job. But let's bring it back to Norm. And I want to continue talking about it because I do want to get into the reason why he was fired from Saturday Night Live, which is kind of like a controversy that I mentioned at the beginning of the show. It kind of pushed him away from mainstream comedy for a little bit. Now, he was still brought on to movies. Was randomly in Adam Sandler movies and good movies that were, how do I even describe it? You know, the good comedy movies, Norm Macdonald would somehow show up in them, you know, because he was one of the real ones.
Oh, yeah. No, he was Billy Madison is just one of the two losers that was hangers-on. He was in Dirty Work, which was a great movie. I believe that was him. Yeah, that was him in Dirty
Work. I don't know that one. Dirty Work? I think that's actually one he did after he got fired. Actually, let's get into this. I've been continuing on. So McDonald was scheduled to be in New York Comedy Festival lineup in November. So he was still doing comedy even through 9 years of cancer battles. He was an SNL cast member from 1993 to 98, making his greatest impact as the anchor of the show's Weekend Update segments for 3 seasons. Remembered for his droll style and for his refusal to go easy on O.J. Simpson, despite reported pressure from NBC execs, McDonald would prove one of the most impactful update anchors, pivoting away from the slapstick approach of Chevy Chase and towards the more barbed political approach of his successor, Colin Quinn. Born in October 17, 1959, in Quebec City, McDonald started his show business career in the comedy clubs of Canada, developing the deadpan style that would become both his trademark and a highly influential touchstone for a generation of comics. After being a contestant on Star Search in 1990, he landed his first regular TV writing gig on The Dennis Miller Show, fronted by the man who anchored Weekend Update from 1986 to 91. McDonald was hired to write for Roseanne Barr's sitcom Roseanne for the 1992-93 season before landing the coveted gig at NBC's Saturday Night Live. Among his most popular SNL bits was a gum-chomping impression of Burt Reynolds, complete with charming smile, bolo tie, wise guy attitude.
Oh man,
that was great.
Those were so great.
There's actually a picture of it right here. You can see him.
Oh yeah,
giant hat on. often at hilarious odds with Will Ferrell's Alex Trebek. If his Reynolds was his best, other impressions were nearly on par. McDonald roster include Andy Rooney, Clint Eastwood, David Letterman, Larry King, Quentin Tarantino, Mr. Bean, and Rod Sterling, among others. McDonald's departure from the show was a controversy in itself, and the firing was often attributed to his continued lambasting of Simpson as a murderer, despite what was said to be the displeasure of Don Ullmeyer, president of NBC's West Coast division.
Oh, man.
A friend of the former football great.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense because the audience is still laughing at all those clips. Like,
yeah, because they're funny. I mean,
they're hilarious.
I mean, we're not here to discuss whether or not OJ did it or not. Although, I mean,
you're gonna have to read his book, I think, to find out. I mean, if I did it,
what did he read a book?
No, he wrote it. Yeah,
he wrote a book.
Yeah, he wrote a book called "If I Did It." It's pretty.
Are you serious? It's called "If I Did It."
I would love to have scare quotes on the word "if."
I don't know if you're serious or joking right now. We're talking about comedy and catching people off guard. You're serious, aren't you?
I'm a little bit serious. Check the chat. Yeah. Chat, correct me.
Oh my god. I don't know if that's real or not. The chat
may be joining me on pranking you right now.
Are you pranking me?
No, I'm not.
You are. You're not. It's real? Dad, I don't know. He's serious. Everyone's saying it's real. Wow.
I was gonna find you a link, but I figured the chat would vindicate it. No, he wrote a book called If I Did It, which is amazing. And I mean, I'm starting to think he didn't do it, but then all of a sudden, you know, I remember, oh yeah, no, he totally he totally wrote that book.
Wow. Thank you, chat. Wow. Oh my goodness. Okay.
I mean, that is monetizing an exoneration if I ever saw one. That's amazing. I mean,
so they were telling him to cut the jokes, and he's like, no, it's funny. I'm gonna keep doing these jokes.
There was my favorite joke of the O.J. Simpson ones was the court reporter said that O.J. Simpson was crying when they were describing the murder scene, like the scene of his dead wife. And yeah. He says O.J. shed a single tear as he realized he'd never be able to kill her again.
Rough. That's rough.
That's Norm. He makes you so uncomfortable. He's such a loose cannon. You like you don't know what he's gonna say, and that's half the.
That's him though, catching you by surprise, and that's why his comedy was so great.
Oh yeah, and just to go up in that article a bit, I did not know he was a writer on Roseanne Barr's show.
I didn't know either. Yeah, I didn't know.
And if you look at these old TV shows, like The Simpsons had Conan O'Brien. Mm-hmm. Roseanne Barr had Norm Macdonald. It's like all these shows were so good. We're in the sort of weird zombie Simpsons era of comedy where like the comedy just isn't. Well, I mean, it doesn't do it anymore.
Yo, it's just not the same.
Nah.
All right. So Macdonald would later tell the New York Times that he believed his dismissal was the result of doing experimental stuff, non sequiturs on Update, saying Olemeyer would watch Leno kill every night for 15 minutes, every joke, huge laughs, and then I do 10 minutes a week and sometimes not get laughs. Regardless of Olemeyer's motives, Macdonald was canned. His Simpson coverage were unrivaled at the time for its comic ferocity. While Leno routinely featured the silly dancing Idos during the trial, Macdonald was relentless in his condemnations. The Simpson trial was still deliberating when he read his lead update item. They must now decide whether to free him or get all their heads cut off. After the not guilty verdict was rendered, he said, well, it's finally official. Murder is legal in the state of California. And that's Norm. But I actually want to dig into this a little bit because there was more to this firing. And oh my gosh, my mouse is frustrating right now. I got to plug it in. Man. Okay, so Norm had a bitter feud with NBC.
Is this it?
Give me one second. Nah, you're good. That's the rule of broadcasting. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Like a traffic jam.
Oh, yeah, tell me about your traffic jam. You all right? What happened there?
Oh, man. The thing about traffic jams is if it's a bad accident and you complain about being late, you're just a complete jerk. Like, those people just had a car accident. I'm like, come on. I'm like 30 minutes late now. You know, it's like if someone in front of you at McDonald's like burst into flames and they had to clean it up.
Okay, I got my mouse plugged in. All right, so let's talk about this bitter feud, right? So when things went far, you know, he was fired, but we kind of went over some of these details. Yeah, so in an interview with David Letterman, he told Olemeyer told him he wasn't funny as the reason that why he was fired from Weekend Update, despite having his support of his boss, SNL executive Lorne Michaels, which is cool to know that Lorne actually had Norm's back, which, you know, I don't watch SNL anymore. I think it's woke garbage now, but it used to be funny. I grew up, you know, when there was Eddie Murphy on the show, Chevy Chase, Adam Sandler, like all the best comedians that, you know, I grew up watching him, and it's amazing.
I still remember the Coffee Crystal skit to this day. I was watching that when I was a kid.
Crystals? Oh, wait, which one's that one?
Oh, there's a skit about, it's a spoof on those blind taste test commercials they used to have in the 90s and late 80s. Yeah. And in this commercial, they are talking to this guy and saying, hey, yeah, by the way, did you know that we've replaced your coffee with decaf coffee crystals? And people are usually like, oh, wow, that's great. It tastes just like the full taste of real coffee, you know, but they have, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the name. That was the bigger, fatter guy that passed away. Oh my
gosh. Farley.
Chris Farley. They do Chris Farley, and Chris Farley goes on a complete meltdown from getting these coffee crystals. Like he's smashing plates. He's like throwing pies in people's face. Oh, it was amazing. Yeah. Like
he died really young too. That's a shame. Gotta love Chris Farley. But anyway, that was the greats of SNL.
Yes, yeah.
All right, so Lauren had his back, and he continues. He's talking to David Letterman here. He says, he doesn't think I'm funny in Weekend Update, and God only knows, and you know, it's just a matter of opinion. He also thinks that OJ is innocent, McDonald chuckled. Letterman said, exactly. Don't let this pinhead push you around, for heaven's sakes. And he goes, no, he's not a pinhead. He's a fat guy.
I love it.
I could just hear Norm saying that.
Oh.
This is where it kind of gets brutal, though. After being openly discontent with being in run-of-the-mill SNL sketches, McDonald parted ways with NBC in 1998. Things remained sour between the comedian and the Peacock network that Olmeyer blocked NBC from airing ads to promote his film Dirty Work, which is, that's what I thought I read it. Wow, I haven't seen the movie. Brutal.
That's terrible. It's a vendetta.
Yeah, they were like, you know what? We're gonna punish you now because you didn't listen to us for being so openly candid about the SNL drama. McDonald referred to Olmeyer as a liar and a thug in an interview with the New York Daily News. But in a strange twist of events, the comedian was invited to host the show, SNL, in October of 1999, taking the bold opportunity to roast the network in his opening monologue. Like, of course he had to roast him. It's Norm MacDonald.
Oh, but yeah.
Listen to this. He said, this is from the opening monologue. He said, I sort of had a disagreement with the management at NBC. I wanted to keep my job, all right? And they felt the exact opposite. So you see, they fired me because they said I wasn't funny. Now, with most jobs, I could have had a hell of a lawsuit on my hands for that. But see, this is a comedy show, so they got me. And then, hold on, it gets better, too. He's like, this is the weird part. No. It's only a year and a half later, and now they asked me to host the show. So I wondered, how did I go in a year and a half from being not funny enough to even be allowed in the building to being so funny that I'm now hosting the show? How did I suddenly get so damn funny? McDonald asks. It's so inexplicable to me because a year and a half, let's face it, it's not enough time for a dude to learn how to be funny. Then it occurred to me, I haven't gotten funnier. The show has gotten really bad.
Oh, no. I'm waiting for them to cart out the Tupac Shakur-style hologram of Norm MacDonald. Just go ahead and start hosting Saturday Night Live.
Oh, my gosh. That whole thing. When I read that, I cracked up. I mean, I even cracked up just hearing it again. It's just... it's funny, you know, in the they were not promoting his stuff. They were actively trying to like push him away and you know, keep him in his shadows. He still did the show, you know, like he didn't have to do SNL, but he was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And, you know, I'm going to roast them. He had to do that.
He's uncancelable because he just uncancels himself. He just doesn't care. Like it seems to be canceled as a state of mind. Right. Like if.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Norm, you know, he kept doing comedy. He was going to do a show this November. Like, it's amazing. And man, then this is what pisses me off, though. Mm-hmm. The pandering, right, that Norm himself talks about. NBC News, remembering Norm MacDonald.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
This is it.
We fired.
This is all they wrote. Stand-up comedian Norm MacDonald made millions of Americans laugh during his time on Saturday Night Live. He died Tuesday after a long battle with cancer. That's it. Period. That is the extent of what they wrote for Norm MacDonald. Really? That's it, NBC? And then there is a video here. It's a minute and 30 seconds long of all of his best clips that they probably own, you know, because it's from when he was on the show for them. Really, NBC? You couldn't give him something more than two sentences. Wait, was it two sentences or was it just one? Let me just check. Two sentences. It was two sentences. Okay, long.
He gets He gets two periods then. That's good. That's terrible. And they put the thumbnail of that video of the one of the impressions that I don't know if anyone really cares about. It's a dated, an old politician, Bob Dole.
Well, it goes through all of them. But so that's just... No, it's not the thumbnail. I already played it.
Oh, I see.
I'm not sure exactly what the thumbnail was when I started it, but I just was like, I wonder if NBC is even doing it, because I was reading into this NBC drama, you know, and then I'm like, I wonder if they actually did anything. And I you know, NBC, and then they were like, I was like, oh, they actually posted something remembering Norm Macdonald. I'm like, maybe they gave him a little bit of respect. And I clicked on this and I was like, are you kidding me? Two sentences and a minute and a half of just clipping all of this stuff together and like posting it. It's like, dude, you shouldn't have done anything, NBC, at all.
Yeah,
or give him some honor him at least.
Obituaries in like small town flyover America are longer than that. I mean, at least
yeah, exactly.
You know, who's his family? Who is this Norm Macdonald guy? He appears to just be on an island, you know. He was here, he worked here, and now he's not, and then he got cancer and died. That's terrible.
Yep, exactly.
Ugh.
But Norm, I mean, he had a solid career afterwards. So after leaving SNL, he started his own comedy series, Norm, from 1999 to 2001, playing a goofball former hockey player who is caught cheating on his taxes and sentenced to serve as a New York City social worker. Laurie Metcalf co-starred. He also did a one season talker for Netflix. Norm Macdonald Has a Show in 2018. I haven't seen any of these things, and I'm actually very interested now to watch all of them.
I didn't hear about either of those either. That's incredible.
Right? He's
Norm
got
Has a show.
Yeah. Other credits title include a character in A Minute with Stan Hooper, a Fox sitcom that lasted a half season, co-starred Penelope Ann Miller and Frank Willard, and 2011's sports show with Norm Macdonald for Comedy Central. Oh, that was probably fun. He earned a Cable Ace Award nomination as part of the writing team for the 92 variety special Free to Laugh, a comedy and musical special for Amnesty International. That's pretty awesome.
Nice.
And then he was also had recurring roles in Girl Boss from 2010 to 2018 on The Middle, which he played a rudderless Rusky Heck, oddball brother of Neil Flynn's Mike Heck. His guest TV credits include My Name is Earl, Real Rob, News Radio. Oh, remember News Radio?
Oh, man, News Radio was good.
Was that with
Joe Rogan? Or is that...
No, I think that was way before Joe Rogan.
I see.
Maybe? I don't remember.
There's a lot of really good shows around that.
Like
era.
Young Joe Rogan? I don't know. Maybe.
There's a young Joe Rogan on one of those TV shows. That's how he
Interesting.
Got it. Fear Factor.
Chat, what do you got? Do you guys know about this? Let's just ask the chat. Someone. Yes, Joe Rogan was on News Radio. Thank you, AA. Yes. Good stuff, dude. Yeah, you called it. That's right. News Radio. Yeah, young Joe Rogan. Awesome. That was a fun show. And then he was on the Drew Carey Show, the Larry Sanders Show. And he lent his voice to a bunch of stuff. Mike Tyson's Mysteries, The Orville, Dr. Doolittle, Very Odd Parents, the video game Skylanders Academy, and others. How about Death from Family Guy? How did they miss that?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, forgot
he was,
about that.
He was Death on Family Guy, right? My goodness.
If I was going to die, I'd like Norm Macdonald to shepherd me through. He'd make it funny. There he is.
There he is. You got to look. He's just chilling on the couch too.
Just hanging out. Hey, man. Mm-hmm. You died.
Hey, he's really him now. That's.
Oh, no.
Wait, too soon?
Too soon?
It's Norm Macdonald, man. He would make this joke about himself.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
You know he would. All right.
He'd do worse. He'd do worse.
He also appeared in a 2015 comedian sketch comedy series, Sunnyside, and was a judge on Last Comic Standing that same year. He appeared in a number of films, including Dirty Work, Grown Ups, Funny People, Screw, Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo, and the Dr. Doolittle film trilogy, The Ridiculous Six, Jack and Jill, The Animal, People vs. Larry Flint, and Billy Madison, several of which featured fellow SNL veterans. He also released comedy albums, Me Doing Stand-Up, Hitler's Dog, Gossip and Trickery, both taken from TV specials, and Ridiculous in 1996. Let's see. Comedy Central named him to its 2004 list of 100 greatest stand-ups of all time. Awesome. That's cool. Yeah, and then it goes on just the rest of the stuff that he's been doing. And, of course, I can't play any of these things because they will probably give me some sort of make me delete it or anything. But honestly, man, he was one of the greats. And it's always a shame when we lose one of the greats. I mean, we mentioned Chris Farley, George Carlin, another incredible comedian that
George Carlin was amazing.
We need him now more than ever, honestly.
We're kind of losing our heroes right now. Norm MacDonald was on that same vein where there was this one clip where he popped up at this YouTube awards.
Okay.
I don't know why they invited him.
Yeah.
But it was him and Sarah Silverman. And I think they completely regretted it because he was just 100% roasting this stupid award ceremony. Just making fun of and he was just dressed normally. Everyone was wearing these outfits and they were treating it like the Oscars, or they're treating it like some like quirky millennial.
He's wearing jeans
and like he's wearing like this. I'll just show up and hang out with Norm.
That's awesome. You know? I love it.
He was great. Him and Phil Hartman as well. Like all these guys were so
Phil Hartman,
fun.
Man. Phil Hartman was amazing, dude. What a shame. Phil Hartman too.
But we need these acid-tongued comedians that'll just come in here and just say what's going on, you know?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I mean, they're so few and far between nowadays. Robin Williams, thank you, Robert, in chat. Yeah, another amazing. Dude, so many good. The ones who are the best are all gone. I mean, we still have some pretty good comedians still out there. I mean, I think Kevin Hart's pretty funny. Dave Chappelle is a freaking
powerhouse.
He's one of the best out there. You know, Eddie Murphy, I think he's actually starting to do comedy again. Like,
really?
I heard a rumor that Eddie Murphy might be like doing stand up again. I don't know if that's actually true or not. I would hope so because I
see it.
Watching Raw. Stand-up comedy, full leather suit. Like, man, Eddie Murphy, I remember everyone in the room, me and my family watched it. I mean, I was a teenager, young. Like, I was maybe like 14 when I watched it. I'd never heard so many swear words in my life, but it was hilarious. It was
incredible. And because you had Eddie Murphy at the same time as Bill Cosby on stage. Yeah.
I don't really remember Bill Cosby as much. I think that was before my time.
Yeah, he was very like...
Yeah.
You gotta change your mindset when you go back like 10, 20, 30 years. But he was like a big on family comedy and stuff. So, you know, he'd do jokes about chocolate cake and his kids are getting into that or something like that, you know?
Yeah. And
apparently he called Eddie Murphy and said, hey, maybe you should ease it up on the swearing. And
really?
Eddie was really, yeah, oh yeah. And Eddie was kind of taken aback because Eddie was the starting comedian and Bill Cosby was like the man, right?
Right.
So Eddie Murphy then calls Richard Pryor and asks.
Oh, Richard, another great Richard Pryor. Love him.
Because there's like three main top black comedians and he just had to go call the other one. And Richard Pryor's on the other end of the spectrum.
He was definitely spicy.
He was real too. I love that. Yeah. But he called Richard Pryor and asks, what do I do? You know, does Bill have a point? And Richard Pryor says, did you make him laugh? Did you get paid? Well, then go tell Bill to shut up and eat a Coke or drink a Coke.
Drink a Coke. That's funny.
Yeah, just get, you know, get paid.
Shout out to the greats. Yeah.
If people are laughing, the comedy's working. If the people are laughing,
boom.
People aren't laughing anymore. You know, people are angry. What's up with that? It's like a Puritan revolution.
Dude, I hate that. I love to laugh. I love being happy and smiling and I want that for others. You know, why would you choose to be angry if you could be happy? You know, I mean, now I understand that the difference. People are like, well, I mean, you know, there's a real reason to be angry. I'm like, well, okay, that's not choosing to be angry. That's someone actually making like, or not someone, something, anything could make you angry, but to remain angry, right? To remain a victim is then choosing to victimize yourself instead of, all right, something happened to me. Now what I do in the future, now that it's in the past, what do I do now? I don't know, that it feels like that's where we're losing that. We're losing that energy of being able to move forward and stuff. It's, I don't know.
It's a lot of Tumblr is coming into place right now because you have the sort of dying of comedy. It's not dying. I hate to say that. It's going to make a comeback. It's having its own COVID-19 right now. Comedy is having its own problem. It'll get better, but like you have,
I hope so.
It's one thing to not laugh at a joke and be like, listen, you can't joke about that. Even Norm didn't even Norm, I think, didn't like someone joking about the Bible because he's got a lot of convictions about that. He says, you really got to know it before you joke about it. And that's Norm, right? But there's one thing to silence somebody who's trying to make a joke. It makes sense, though.
He makes it, you know, if you're gonna critique something, which I think comedy is really like a critiquing of sorts, right? I mean, you the best comedy is laced with truth, and that's why it people understand it more and you mm-hmm. know gravitate to it. So you know that's why I needed to vote this year. Last year I was like, I critique the government. If I don't vote, I'm not participating. You know, I pay my taxes, and now I can say I vote and I pay my taxes. I'm going to criticize all of the politicians because they work for me, period. You know?
Yeah.
So it's you know, we got to have that energy more often.
And remember that the internet may be a flippant place for a lot of people, but
yeah,
these memes can put people into the White House. And the literally comedy. I mean, you go to like a rally or something,
yeah.
You go to like a Trump rally, there's jokes.
True.
The side that's laughing, the side that's willing, you know, he's making fun of himself, like, hey, turn off those lights, I look orange, that sort of thing. If you're willing to make fun of yourself, that's a
yep.
that's a good sign.
Huge.
If you're gonna silence somebody who's making fun of you, like maybe the Clintons would want to do with Norm Macdonald, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the signs of a tyrant. And so making a joke at someone's expense is how you find out. Yeah, it's how you find out who somebody is.
Yeah, yep.
You ever had somebody on your team and you try to make a little bit of fun of them, but they're so full of themselves they just can't take it and they get real defensive. But then that just makes everybody want to pick on them more. There's a real utility in doing that.
I can think of a few people.
Well, it. I mean, I'm not gonna apply it necessarily to that situation, but it is to me, in 100% of the situations I've been in, it's a sign that you're working with someone who's a little toxic. You know, the inability to joke around and be joked on to get roast. That's why we had roasts too. Like,
I'm sorry, it's just so good. All right, let's move on. Let's move on. We're moving right along. I want to talk about Inspiration 4. What do you know about Inspiration 4? Are you paying attention to the stuff?
Oh, the Elon Musk, that's the four civilians?
Yeah, so I actually have a real
awesome.
Patch.
Wow.
This is the real patch. It's pretty big actually, this patch.
Dang.
I entered to win after a certain price point you get a patch, and I mean it went up to a ridiculous amount that you can donate, but all the proceeds went to St. Jude, which is pretty cool. You can actually see the little you know, the little St. Jude part of it right there.
Look at that.
So awesome. That's so it was good for a good cause. It was like, you know what, I'm donating for a good cause and I'm getting a chance to go to space. This is amazing. So I had to enter.
That is so smart. I would rather go to space than win the lottery.
Sadly, I didn't win.
Oh, you didn't?
But obviously, because they're up in space right now. So they took off yesterday after my show. It was like 8-something. I don't remember exactly when. But here it is. This is from the website, inspiration4.com. Inspiration 4 crew launches the first all-civilian orbital mission to space. That means none of them are pilots. It is flying them. There are four civilians on a Dragon capsule. They are actually in orbit right now. Actually, here is an image from the Dragon capsule. And this is what they're seeing right now. I mean, they might be on the dark side. I don't know. They're going around the globe, I think, once every 90 minutes or something like that.
That's low Earth right there.
It's amazing.
Wow.
I'm not jealous. At all. I swear. I'm not jealous. All right. I'm totally jealous. Who am I kidding? I wanted to go. All right. So September 15th, the crew of Inspiration 4, the world's first all-civilian human spaceflight mission to orbit, officially ushered in a new era of space exploration at 8:02:56 p.m. Eastern Time as SpaceX Falcon 9 lifted off from historic Launch Complex 39A at NASA's Kennedy Space Center. Our crew carries the responsibility and importance of this mission as we prepare to blast off, said Inspiration 4 Commander Jared Isaacman just before launch. We have been well prepared for the challenges ahead of us the next 3 days and look forward to sharing our experience with the world as we continue to bring attention to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital here on Earth. Since the mission's announcement in March 2021, the Inspiration 4 crew has spent the past 6 months completing a wide range of training activities, including centrifuge training, dragon simulations, observations of other launch operations, zero-G plane training, altitude training, and additional classrooms, simulation, and medical testing. This intense focused preparation was essential to helping four diverse strangers grow into their new roles as the first all-civilian astronaut crew to orbit Earth. Although the four diverse, so like right there, I see the word diverse. It's like, wait, I thought it was a contest. Wasn't it supposed to be random? I mean, maybe it ended up being diverse. I don't know. Maybe they're just saying that. I just see that word. I'm like,
Man, I could
equity.
Yeah, diverse is whoever wrote that press release must have just slipped it in there. I don't know.
It could be true. Hold on. No, I to be fair, it could be true. And I actually have another article that's really getting in to who they are. So we're going to talk about who's actually on this plane.
It wasn't just four white guys from New Jersey just orbiting.
four rich guys. Let's see. The crew's collective goal has not only been to fly to space, but also to make a significant contribution in the fight to cure childhood cancer back on Earth. Started as an initial $100 million gift from Isaacman to St. Jude's, Inspiration 4 has a fundraising goal to raise $200 million through February 2022 to help accelerate research advancements and save more children worldwide. To date, the mission has a commitment of more than $130 million with a new auction items and ways to support being shared during and after the mission. To get involved, click here. Then, of course, you can go to the website. It's inspiration4.com, and there is definitely ways. There's a link right here to support St. Jude, which made it all the more easy to get this patch. You know, I'll remember, like, you know, I entered in a chance to go to space, and I supported a good cause. It's really great.
That's awesome, man. I did not know about the contest part of that. I just knew it was for civilians, but...
Yeah. So I was really aware. There's another contest actually that's going to take. I think it's more than four. It might be eight. Artists around the moon, the first civilian trip around the moon. So that's pretty cool. I've entered into that one too, but haven't heard anything back yet. But who knows? You know, you never know. Let's see. We are thankful to Jared for his incredible leadership as the commander of the historic mission and for his work helping to raise $200 million for St. Jude Research Children's Research Hospital, said Richard C. Shadyak, Jr., president and CEO of ALSAC, the fundraising and awareness organization for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. The significance of Inspiration 4 cannot be overstated. The mission ushers in a new era in citizen space travel and gives hope to children. Cancer is diagnosed each year in about 400,000 children worldwide. Curing catastrophic diseases in children is a multi-trillion-dollar, multi-year program, and the public support through initiatives like Inspiration 4 makes it possible for us to raise the critical funds needed to help save children everywhere. The Inspiration 4, yeah, it's great, isn't it?
That's incredible. This is brilliant, by the way. This is brilliant marketing. It's brilliant for Inspiration.
Well, I mean, it's good for all of these people, because Joe Biden said if he was going to become president, he's going to cure cancer.
Oh, did he say?
I'm going to cure the cancer, you know, the thing, you know, I'm going to cure it.
I'm not joking.
Really?
Yeah, he said that. He said it. I'm not joking. Chat. Now it's my turn to get have the chat help me out. Chat, do you guys see that? Do you guys see when Joe Biden said we're gonna cure cancer?
Did they just have like a bowl of like pieces of paper in it, and then like the press secretary, whoever writes the speeches, just reaches into it and just
Yep. See, chat's got it. Yep, it's true. I know. Dude, it's crazy. Well, good. Good for all these children, 400,000 children worldwide. Don't worry, Joe Biden is going to cure cancer, and if he doesn't, shame on him.
I'm not sure if I would want my cancer cured by Joe Biden. I'm not sure what that involves. Oh, I don't know.
Let's not dwell on that. Let's get back to Inspiration. All right, it's all about being inspired here. Let's see here. The all civilian Inspiration for astronauts are paving the way for a future where space is more accessible to all who wish to go. And we are so proud that they entrusted us to fly them, said SpaceX president and chief operating officer Gwynne Shotwell On behalf of all SpaceX employees, I want to thank the crew and their families for allowing us to be a part of their historic mission. Now, I actually have an article here of who they are. Who are the civilians on SpaceX Inspiration 4 mission to space? Here they are. Here's the four of them. All right, first is Jared Isaacman. He is the founder and CEO of Shift for Payments, a platform facilitating payment amounting to more than $200 billion for one-third of all food chains in the United States of America, including giants like KFC, Arby's, and Hilton, reports Forbes. He is also the sole financier of the three-day journey to an altitude above the Hubble Space Telescope's orbit. In collaboration with SpaceX, Isaacman aims to raise awareness and funds for St. Jude's Children's Hospital research. So thank you, Jared. It's really because of you that this whole thing became a thing. You know, the billionaire CEO who was a school dropout is not just a corporate guy in a suit, but also an adventure junkie. He is accomplished jet pilot who can fly commercial and military flights and holds two world records for speed around the world flights in 2008 and 2009. He made the record during another awareness program for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. He has flown the MiG jet faster than the speed of sound and covered multiple 80-plus hour fly weeks. Not only is he an avid flight buff, but he has also climbed to Mount Vinson in Antarctica. However, he did not complete the climb due to hydration. He vows to cover the climb yet again. And I'm just going to keep moving here. We got Haley Arsenault. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but the 29.
French, yeah.
It does look kind of French. 29-year-old child cancer survivor, Haley, a physician assistant at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, will be the medical officer for the flight and also the first person in space with a prosthesis, a metal rod that was inserted in her leg to replace bone removed due to a tumor. Haley will also be the youngest American to go to space and the youngest person ever to fly into orbit. According to SpaceX, only 553 humans have ever been to orbit. That's actually a lot to me. I thought it would have been a lot lower than that. Don't you? Isn't that kind of like, oh, wow.
It seems pretty high, but that's low Earth orbit. I mean, you could start categorizing it. So it's like there's low Earth and there's outer, and then there's going to the moon kind of thing.
Yeah, true. Okay, then we got Chris Sembroski, a data engineer at aerospace giant Lockheed Martin Corp. at Everett, Washington. Sembroski spent some of his free time in college launching high-powered model rockets and volunteered with ProSpace, a grassroots organization that lobbied on behalf of a private space ventures on Capitol Hill, reported Reuters. Sembroski also conducted simulated space shuttle missions as a counselor for U.S. Space Camp, a government-funded science technology and engineering youth camp in Huntsville, Alabama. He joined the U.S. Air Force as an electromechanical technician and was deployed to Iraq and also helped maintain a fleet of Minuteman III intercontinental ballistic missiles before leaving active duty in 2007. And then we have Dr. Cyan Proctor. Dr. Proctor was born in Guam but raised in Fairport, reports I don't know what WEC, W-H-E-C.
I have no idea.
She lives in Arizona, but graduated from Fairport. Dr. Proctor was an entrepreneur, educator, trained pilot, and active voice in space exploration community, and told News 10, the mission makes her think about her father's legacy. I'd like to think that space has been in my DNA. Proctor told the news portal in an interview in March 2021. I was born on Guam, and the reason why my father worked at NASA tracking station during the Apollo missions. And I grew up with all the space memorabilia, such as Neil Armstrong's autograph to my father, thanking him for all his help during Apollo 11. All right. So I'm really happy for them all. It feels like they were picked. All right. I'm not faulty at all that I entered a contest to potentially be there, but I can't help but feeling it's a little rigged, all right? You know what I'm saying? It feels a little rigged. What do you think?
It just so happens. I wonder if the guy who paid for the whole thing just opened his envelope and was like, oh, wow, I'm so lucky.
Yeah, right.
He's like the cancer survivor. I mean, those awesome people. I don't think I could think
again,
of people
I'm
who
not
be better
upset
it, you know?
That these guys got to go. You guys deserve it. Obviously, you have a great story about space and all these things, and you know, it just feels like you were picked and it wasn't an actual contest.
Maybe.
All right, so I have a bunch of other stuff to go over, and I feel like I'm gonna save it. Let's have you on again next week. I want to get into some super chats. We're kind of running a little. It's already at 7:30, so let's get into some super chats, and you know, we're gonna have some conversations with them. We'll talk about. So I know you posted on Twitter that we were gonna talk Star Trek.
Nah, but I'll get to another. Star Trek is going anywhere.
I want to specifically talk about food and the future of food because.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you know you were a space engineer, and I want to dig more into that as well. But since you're a farm engineer now, you know you're obviously you know you're the engineer still is in you. So I want to talk about that, and also the future of food food on this planet is really. I don't know. It's interesting because food's getting more and more expensive. But this article came out today. It could wait until next week. So
let's do it.
Let's talk next week, shall we?
Oh yeah, man. Absolutely. I'm here all the time.
Nice. Robert Wilde says, I hope this makes Betty smile and Diana Francisco smile. I'm doing better. Thanks for all the love and kindness. Have a blessed night, Adam and chat. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Robert Wiles. See, I saw another super chat early. Let me just find it real quick. Excuse me, Chet Chisholm. In honor of a Canadian legend, allow me to regale you with his greatest tale of sorrow and tragedy. So a moth walked into a podiatrist's office. So this is the moth story that you mentioned.
You gotta go watch it. I won't spoil it.
I've got to watch it, and I probably can't show it to everybody because I don't know, copyright issues and stuff. So unfortunately, I won't be able to. Read it for you or show you guys, but definitely go check it out because Norm Macdonald is absolutely the great. Fantastic Mr. Knox says, I only heard about Norm Macdonald a week ago. I also realized he was in Billy Madison, been watching some of his skits. Such a funny guy. Rest in peace. Yes, I know. He's one of the greats. No joke. Andy Plays Game says, hi, Adam. I saw the space jellyfish firsthand from my backyard, 10 minutes from Cape Canaveral. It was quite unique as I've seen many launches. Awesome. That's cool. Yeah, that's the rocket taking off from Cape Canaveral. I've seen one. When I was a child, it was a Challenger, one of the space shuttle launches when I was a kid. My family's in I have a lot of family down in Tampa, and I used to spend my summers there, and I remember seeing one launch, and I just was, I mean, I think that might have been one of the more strong memories of my childhood is seeing that rocket launch. Yeah. And I am obsessed with space. Maybe that actually helped solidify it, knowing that people were going up into space. And actually, one of my first books, Commander Toad and the Space Pirates, and it was one of my first books as a kid, and it was about, you know, like this Commander Toad and a bunch of his pirate crewmates. It was cool. What were you gonna say? Sorry for cutting you off.
No, I'll have to tell you a story sometime, maybe not now, but I when I was an engineer, I actually got to work underneath someone who worked for Von Braun. And the stories he told were pretty good, but he gave this awesome case for why Americans love spaceships. And how that relates to guns, motorcycles, and really nice cars. Pretty much the redneck in all of us Americans, us red-hatted rednecks, we leads directly to space travel. It's pretty awesome. He had a great presentation. I'll tell you about it sometime.
Jet fuel, yes.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's basically just it's a monster. You could have a monster truck and a spaceship on two separate pads, and it would just be like part of the show.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. No lies detected. Xylex Dragon, a $50 super chat. Holy cow. Thank you so much, Xylex. That's amazing. His super chat says, buy a comb? Nah, I like the messy hair. Good vibes all around. Yeah, you know what? I mean, so my hair is very curly. All right. And you can see if I don't like really slick it back, it gets really curly and I start getting like very froed out hair. My hair, when it was long, you know, it was wavy, but when it's short like this, if I don't do something about it, it's super, it just goes. And I was busy today. I was like, you know what? I don't feel like doing my hair. It's not a big deal. Whatever.
Adam looks like Ryan Long on a good day right now. It's like,
is that know? A lot of people have said that I look like Ryan Long, and he's got really curly. I think his hair is actually curlier than mine.
He has comedian's hair.
I guess I do too then, huh? Robert Wild says, I don't have much money, but can donate. Can you donate this to 22 Until None for Kim Lalajo for her sister? She isn't doing well. Okay, Robert. Yeah, for sure, man. But you know what? 22untilnone.org. All right. You can go there. And if you guys don't know what it is, it's actually something. I actually have a new blend called Commodore's Reserve. Well, it's been out for quite some time. It's a bolder version of my favorite coffee, the Catalyst blend. Some of the profits from all sales from that brand or blend go to 22 Until None. For those who don't know, 22 veterans a day commit suicide. And it is a nonprofit to help them get the resources that they need, the help that they need to get on their feet and deal with the PTSD that they have to deal with and all the things that they've been through. So, and my brother's a Marine. He actually has 22 Until None tattooed right on his forearm because he wants to bring more awareness to it. So it's kind of a little bit of an honor to my brother, but then also to the veterans that are out there. So please go check it out, 22untilnone.org. You could definitely check it out there. And so thank you, Robert. I appreciate that. Nick says, no offense, but that sounds like something some commie gobbledygook. I think he was talking to Silverman isn't that from that?
That's right. That's right.
Sarah Silverman. And
that was one of his more mild comments that day too. That was great.
Yeah, that's why people are trying to make that one stand out more. Like just focus on that one and not the other stuff. Calling out the commies. Mr. Knox says, in my opinion, what makes a comedian funny is when they don't hold back. David Chappelle is a great example. Exactly, David Chappelle, one of the top best comedians of my lifetime, hands down. He's made me laugh so many times. He is incredible. I really do. I would love to go see his stand-up sometime, you know, in one of those small environments, you know, where he's smoking a cigarette. I mean, I don't like being around cigarettes. I used to smoke, and I wouldn't want to be in a room. But, you know, it's so authentic. It's so real, you know, that I would go into a small, dingy comedian club or comedy club and have cigarette smoke for the night, you know, just to watch David Chappelle, you know,
make it a full body experience, right? Like when you go to a comedy club, it's supposed to be like, this is not normal. We need to go out of normalcy. It's like, right. Let's go, you know, so that's awesome.
I want to smell that comedy show the next day.
Smell the comedy on my clothes the next day.
Right. Exactly. Big Floppa says, random question for y'all. What's your favorite color? What about you, Alex?
Green, 100% green. How about you?
Green.
Oh, huh? Two greens. Okay.
What? No. I'm commenting. Green, huh? What kind of green, though? Describe your green. I want to more descriptive.
I like a nice, robust, deep forest green.
Okay.
None of that lime stuff up there, you know. I like
bright green, like a deep green.
Like a deep green. Okay. Yeah, that's a healthy plant right there.
Okay. So like really healthy plant green. I like that. I like that. Okay. Oh, yeah. My favorite color is burnt orange. It's sometimes you see it prevalently in sunsets. You know what I'm talking about? Like when the sky gets really, it's not red, it's an orange, but it's like this beautiful burnt orange color. It's like a rusty orange. I love that color. It's great. Nice. It's definitely. And I also really like the color purple for some reason. I'm colorblind, and blue and purple, I can't tell the difference, but I always am. If I really like the color, I just assume it's purple now, because for some reason I'll pick some out and I'm like, this is a really nice sweater. And Nisha will be like, yep, it's purple. And I'm like, I knew it. Like, I'm
sure she loves that.
I just like purple. Yeah. It's a, it's one of my favorites. But burnt orange is definitely my favorite color, though.
Nice.
Ryan Hindert said Norm died of cancer, but the cancer died of Norm.
That's it's a good. Draw.
Yeah, it's a he'd draw. Like that. He'd like that one too. That's good. Sejong the Great says the exact bit was Richard said, "Did you make them laugh? Did you get paid? Then tell Bill Crosby to shut the F up and have a Coke and a smile." Mm-hmm. That sounds right. Yeah, that sounds right. Where were we here? Mavis says, "Don't be disappointed, Em. You're going on the trip to the moon. I've already called it before." That you did call it. You did call it, Mavis. I know that's true. I haven't heard from them since April. It was I did go to the second stage, which I heard that like thousands of people went to the second stage. So I mean, I don't know. Dear Moon, if you guys want to look it up, you could do hashtag Dear Moon. You could check it out. It's actually a really cool Japanese entrepreneur artist who's doing it and funding it. It's pretty cool. It would be an incredible honor, and nice. I would bring my little guitar if I'm allowed. I don't know if I would be allowed, but I would fight for that. I mean, it's only like this big. It's a tiny little guitar, and it's 16. It's great. Brother Grimm with a $10 super chat said, "Craig's, Alex, can we get a deep dive into why and how the quality of our food has declined over the last 100 years?
Yes.
Love both of your channels." Actually, you know what? That will tune in perfectly with when you're on the show next week. Let's actually dive into that. Let's talk about that. So maybe do a little research on your own on why that is. I'm sure you know a little bit about it right now. And we'll talk because I have this article from Bloomberg that's talking about how food is more expensive now than since the 70s. And it's super expensive. And then I actually have another article that is... So this is why I wanted to save it, because it's all about water wars as well, and we're running out of fresh water, and the way that things are going right now, it's not looking good, and it's a big problem that no one is really talking about.
There's the Kansas aquifer that's running out. I'm not going to spend too much time on it. We'll talk about it next week, but that is actually why I have this zealous need, this desire to get people to democratize food production, because a lot of this stuff is centrally planned. A lot of government interference, and you can see where it's going. It's not going super great. And
yeah, I think it's going to be dry.
It's going to become a matter of like the difference between poverty and like, you know how people sometimes have to choose between medicine and like buying medicine and buying food. It's like, if you don't have to buy food, you'll be able to buy the medicine, right? That's what I'm saying. It's going to become an imperative.
Grow your food, people. All right. It's clutch to grow our own food. All right. Let's see. Where was I? Blackwell Disco, good to see you, says, "Finally got my earnings statement for my first album. Here's your cut. Love you and chat." Oh, thank you, Blackwell. All right. Okay. Just taking my cut. I appreciate that.
Getting tides,
very
man.
Nice. Congratulations. Quesadilla with a $10 super chat says, "Utah PD released a full video of the missing girl. It turns out she was DV abusive one." What does that mean? DV abusive one. Often it's histrionic girls that abuses when dudes defend, they go to jail. They should have taken her to jail.
Oh, I see.
This pisses me off. I mean, one of my best friends in high school was accused of rape and went to prison for 2 years before she admitted that she lied and that she was just upset with him for breaking up with her.
Oh my God.
And he lost 2 years of his life because believe all women, right? Which is, I mean, and I'm not even surprised at this kind of stuff because, you know, everybody lies. Anyone has the ability to be evil. That woman who took 2 years away from one of my best friends from high school, that's evil. What you did is evil, all right? And I don't think anything happened to her from it. Which is insane. You know, it's like, as far as I'm concerned, she should be in prison for 2 years. Every second he was in prison for that lie, she should be in prison for that lie. It's just how I feel about it. You can't convince me otherwise.
Honestly, once you've done that sort of thing, I feel like there should be a registry or something for that kind of thing, right? There's a registry for, like, it should be on your record of like, yeah, at least some kind of court statement says you lost a case of falsely accusing, you know, you've been. But I don't know if they'll be able to connect that record to her.
But I don't know, because she, I mean, that's more trust in the state. You know, it's like, I want less government. You know, I want to bring back to like, oh, why am I so on me? Come on, focus on me. Thank you.
Boom. There. Okay. Wow. Nice.
Yeah. The I figured out how to do it. The white balance. but you mentioned just something now. It's like, what was the word?
Democratized food production. 100%. That's my mission.
Right. I mean, it's like we need to take the power back to our on more of a local level, like trade. You grow something really well, trade it for someone else, you know, trade it for all the other goods. You know, that there's, I learned something growing up. My dad was a heating and air conditioning guy, right? He owned his own business. I learned how to do all the stuff in HVAC. And he had all sorts of friends and all different things, and they would trade. He would go someone's HVAC. They would come and do his electricity. You know, he would need some plumbing done. He'd go do his plumbing friend's HVAC, and then he would come over and help with the plumbing. It's like they all traded. I mean, that's still a thing. Like, trades are a huge thing to get into for that reason alone. If you can grow your own food and you're in a trade, I mean, you can just trade your way, barter. I mean, that's how we used to do things, you know? Like, what? Now we're stuck on this huge society. I feel like I'm going to say this because we're going to get into it.
Yeah, let's get into it later. Because there's so much to cover. It reshapes the food. I'm going to give a teaser for probably what's going to happen next week. Food is an essential part of who we are, and once you take it back, you take back who you are. It's a huge, it's a full change of society. It's a full change.
I love it. Chris Holmes says Newsom did not win fairly. 69% voted no. I have lots of research tabs open of things that I'm reading and saving and stuff for stuff, and I've got a bunch of different articles about different discrepancies with the California election. I mean, I'm so over these Democrats, man. They're not even trying anymore. It's ridiculous. Mr. Squiggle says Kavan is a pretty funny comedian. His dry bar comedy is one of the funniest on YouTube. He also has his own show, his own YouTube channel. I don't know Kavan at all. K-V-O-N. Do you know that comedian?
I think I might have heard of Kavan, but I don't know about Kavan. I'll have to look into that.
It's Kavan. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know. Yeah. I haven't seen
Kavan. Kavan comedy. Oh, okay. I don't know who that is, but I'll check it out. I like to laugh and I like comedians, so. Mavis says, what would some suggestions of states to flee from New York? Escape from New York is no longer the name of the movie. Oh my goodness. states to flee to? I mean, don't flee, you know, don't run away. If you need to leave because they're crazy and mandating a bunch of stuff, pick somewhere that maybe you have family that you can be near. Because it's, you know, community is huge. I think Texas is awesome. They're really trying to turn Texas blue. So if you're going to try to, if you're going to move somewhere, go to Texas and help keep it red. Texas is awesome. Seriously, every time I've ever been in Texas, the people are awesome. And I may or may not be in Texas soon-ish for something. But that will be a surprise for next week. David, Quesadilla says domestic violence. She was domestic violent. She was the abusive one in that domestic violence case. Oh,
wow.
Not surprising. Yeah. Aladdin says, I was going to ask a question about canning, but then did a quick search for Farm Engineer. Going to watch that later. Discuss preserving next week too. Yes. And I actually want to learn more about canning myself because I have a huge root cellar that I'm going to build a bunch of. Dude, it's awesome. It's huge. It's probably over 100 years old. Easy. It's super musky in there, but you know, whatever. It's a root cellar.
You want it.
Yeah. So, and my cousin actually, I don't know if he still has his mushroom business, but he grew mushrooms.
That's awesome.
Like edible mushrooms, people. Calm yourselves. You know,
well, I mean, really, technically the other ones are edible too, but.
Okay. They're edible, but. All right, not like a psilocybin mushrooms. All right, I'm talking about like really delicious. I love mushrooms, like chicken of the forest. There's so many good mushrooms out there. Chanterelles. We actually have those And they're so good. So I think I can grow them in there as well, but I also want to learn how to can. I got a bunch of apple trees. The apples on my property are so good.
And you can make really good apple cider vinegar too, right? Like a lot of essentials come from apples. Yeah, make apple vinegar.
I can.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna talk. All right. Mr. Squiggle says Kayvon does a pretty good Harris and Biden impersonation. Awesome. Yeah, I think I'm gonna enjoy his streams because you know, I like making fun of them also. but anyway, I'm looking forward to having you on next week. I am gonna get out of here. It was great having you guys show up for me as always. Thank you so much. Tomorrow is of course jam night, where I'll be jamming. I have my electric and an acoustic. Nice. I might play the Forge on the original way it was played, which is on my electric guitar. No, I'm sorry. I am going to play the Forge on my electric guitar tomorrow, and it's going to be awesome. So tune in tomorrow for jam night. It's going to be a lot of fun. And next week, we'll have the Farm Engineer join me back on the show. He's also on Twitter. You can his handle is down below. Of course, it says right there. Right there we go.
Yep, right there
we
go.
At the Farm Engineer, go follow him and ask him some questions if you have any questions for him.
Oh, yeah.
But thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I will see you all next time. Good night, everybody.
Please smash the like button for the Krigler Show, coming to you live Monday through Friday, 6:30 Eastern Time.